Hey there, I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We're back again with another episode of Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast here at Prairie Public. Oh, Danielle, I mean, what a week this is. I'm sure there are other things that are going on in the world aside from what happened yesterday, but yeah. We are still just mired in misery of the death of Dolly Parton, and then we find out somebody else decided to
Tim Curry
leave
passed
us.
Away today. Also, they're both 80 years old, two absolute American icons.
Oh, totally. So we have to have a double feature now of 9 to 5 and the Rocky Horror Picture Show back to back. I think it'll be camp. And so aside from that awful news, what is on the beat this week?
All right. Well, before we begin, quick question. How old were you when you learned how to drive?
15.
Okay. Well, I was 11. My dad taught me how to drive in his F-150 work truck. It had toolboxes and a fuel tank in the flatbed. And on the farm, I was basically the gopher for two or three summers there. I had a dad-imposed speed limit of like 30 miles per hour, and the truck had a bench seat in it. So when I moved the seat forward so I could reach the pedals, the whole seat moved up. And when I was giving rides to people between fields or farmyards or whatever, whoever I was shuttling had to be that close to the dashboard as well.
Okay, it sounds very North Dakota, very wild, very rural sort of... very, very rule averse. Like, so my own daughter it's not that far off from that age. I mean, my goodness, you just started the fifth grade today. How many more years we have till driving age? I just can't imagine her behind the wheel of any vehicle, let alone a work truck.
I know. It's kind of wild for me to think about, too. But honestly, you know, it is. It is very rural. And it's just the time and the circumstance that we were in at that time. And I think a lot of rural kids have similar stories. Despite those circumstances, though, like any type of precautions we may have taken back then, it was still probably not the safest thing for me to be doing at that age. There was a survey that came out this week from the finance firm Wallet Hub about how all 50 states stack up against each other when it comes to safety for teen drivers. And North Dakota ended up in the bottom 10.
It's Chip, C-H-I-P, Lupo, L-U-P-O, writer and analyst at Wallet Hub.
So we talked to Chip from time to time about the different surveys that they do at Wallet Hub, and North Dakota came in at 41 out of 50 on this list. He says there are a number of different things to consider when it comes to road safety for teens.
We took all 50 states and we evaluate them across three key dimensions when it comes to driving: safety, economic environment, which is key, which is often overlooked, and driving laws. And from there, we apply 23 metrics, and those range from things such as driving schools per capita, quality of roads, maximum cost of speeding ticket, cost of car repairs. And we do so to kind of create kind of a comprehensive look other than just things such as accident rates or insurance, because obviously teen drivers are inexperienced, so there's always going to be a risk of an accident.
Well, that really makes a lot of sense, especially the part about speeding tickets. And I know that we've talked about that before. Traffic fines in North Dakota are not all that punitive.
There will be talk of that, though, in the next legislative session this coming spring. The speed limits on the interstate highways have increased, and now it seems that lawmakers may be a little interested in amending those speeding fines, so we'll see what happens there. Not much has really changed in about 50 years, so it might be time. Laws, of course, do play into this, but Chip Lupo was quick to point out as well that other states in the bottom 10, like South Dakota, Idaho, Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, these are rural states that will have a lot in common. People drive a lot more miles in states like this on average, nearly 13,000 miles per year. And there are things Chip mentioned as well that don't get considered often, the economic factors. Car repairs are very expensive in North Dakota. And also adding a teen driver to your insurance policy is a hit to the wallet as well.
North Dakota has the sixth highest average car repairs at $364.62. Now, insurance is kind of a mixed bag because states, you know, insurance are responsibility of the states. And North Dakota fared close to the bottom, 48th in terms of punitive of insurance companies towards high-risk drivers, meaning you're not getting punished enough, more or less, for bad driving behavior. 114% increase in your car insurance when you add a teen driver, the 13th highest in the country. So that's a pretty eye-opening stat right there.
Yeah, I can see how that could create a little less incentive for good behavior. Like, yes, the teen insurance rates are high, but they don't go through the roof if they get speeding tickets. And we do drive a lot more in rural states, so that clearly makes more opportunities for accidents and things like that. And certainly it's an issue across the board, but distracted driving, I got to say, that's probably a bit more pronounced for teenagers.
Yes, Chip Lupo said that, but I also have some law enforcement muscle behind that claim too.
Obviously, the first thing we think of as distractions is a cell phone, but there's so many more distractions than that. That could be a simple thing of your water bottle that fell down to the ground and you're picking it up and you go out of your lane. That's a huge distraction, right? That water bottle is not necessary to the operation of your vehicle. Just leave it there for safety reasons. You can get it once you stop.
That's Bennett Bitts. He's a trooper with the North Dakota Highway Patrol. He says other distractions can even include other passengers in the vehicle. He says those can affect more than just teen drivers. So you and I are susceptible to those as well. The most important thing is paying attention to the road in front of you and not other conversations you may be having in the car. Now, when I described learning to drive when I was 11, it sounds crazy now, but back then the laws were a bit different. When you were 12, you could actually get a farm permit in North Dakota. And I think that was going to be the plan for me, but clearly it's not entirely safe for kids that young to be driving. So the laws changed and the farm permit went away once I did turn 12. I got my license to drive at age 14, and that has since changed too. You can get your permit at age 14, but you must have someone in the car with you with at least 3 years of driving experience in the car. And at 15, you can take a driver's ed course and then a road course to get your license.
It is a restricted driver's license in North Dakota, so there's a couple things with that is, you know, there's no driving between 9 p.m. or sunset, whichever is later. There are some exceptions to that rule where if it has to do with a school event or school activity or work or any religious activities. And then there's no electronic device use allowed. That includes even a hands-free phone call. So can't call home asking mom what's for supper or something like that. You know, even if it's a hands-free law, so you got to make that phone call before you even leave the parking lot if you're age 15. And then once you hit the age of 16, you are then in an unrestricted license where those couple extra curfews and the electronic device rule still applies. But once you hit 16, you have a full driver's license at that point.
So you said you got your license at 14?
That was the law back then. Yep.
Wow, North Dakota, the wild frontier. Woo. Have to say, it does sound like over the years, steps have been made to make things a little more restrictive and safer for those teen drivers, even those on the farm. And even though it hasn't improved our standing much on the national stage as far as safety goes, and I guess with some of the factors at play here with the miles, we have to drive, et cetera, there isn't much we can do about that. But with the legislature in session again in a few months, perhaps, there will be more movement on that front.
Another thing Chip Lupo at Wallet Hub said was that in some states, things are just done differently. You know, in many places, you take your driving lessons at an actual driving school, whereas places like North Dakota, and this was the case for me, like driver's ed is offered as a summer elective through the school system, and it's a football coach or something that teaches it. Mine was the boys' golf coach, actually. Yeah. So there are some political, some structural and funding things going on there that could improve, but it's a much larger system that would have to be looked at there. And he also mentioned things like, you know, things like teen drinking and driving could improve. Teens in North Dakota also do tend to drive distracted. In their survey, he said 55% of those surveyed had been cited in the last 30 days for texting or emailing while driving. It's a far more comprehensive issue than what we may consider on the surface. And Trooper Bitts does say that a lot of traffic stops they do for speeding and other infractions do include frank discussions about measures all drivers can take to be safer on the roads. There are things all of us can do to make the roads safer.
So off the top of my head, no speeding, no distractions, and wear your seatbelt. Those are some pretty basic good tips and certainly a lot for all of us to think about as our kids are coming of age. Getting behind the wheels of vehicles, I know I'm not going to be able to teach my child how to drive a stick shift because they don't make them anymore. But we all have to help them understand the responsibility they're going to have as drivers. Thanks for all that today, Danielle. Have you in the newsroom been working on any other stories this week?
Well, this week our headlines include a UND professor being named an ambassador to the Council on Foreign Relations.
At the dig site we have just south of Bismarck Mandan, we found two really nice T-Rex teeth.
The popularity of North Dakota's annual dinosaur digs. And Dave's Do You Know That column this week is great. It's about the difference between North Dakota's legislative sessions and reconvened sessions.
Ah, yes. Always great to be able to gain more context on the day's news with Dave's super-duper institutional knowledge on North Dakota politics. It's such an asset for us at Prairie Public and for you, dear listeners. So great. Thank you for all that, Danielle, today.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right. That's it for this week's Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.